All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And for those that are familiar with the ongoing Facebook discussion in 2 Corinthians 5, you can take a deep breath because I'm not going to talk about reconciliation. I just want to use a verse here as a starting point, and I do want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet, both on Facebook Live and our website. We have a number of people that listen every Sunday, and to those men that are listening, that are fathers, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day, and we always appreciate people tuning in for our Bible study. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read a verse here, a couple of verses, as a starting point to talk about some things that we have as a result of being in Christ. And I think this the lesson Mark gave at the first hour was really a good lead-in for this because he was talking about the liberty that we have in Christ and the fact that that liberty is not a license to sin, and we know that. But we understand that in Christ we are secure. In Christ we're sealed under the day of redemption. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I want to talk to you about this new creature in Christ and what I call positional truth, or our positional truth concerning us as saints of God. I think there's a lot of times misunderstanding about the verse where it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I know for years I was taught that when a person gets saved, that being that new creature in Christ, that all the sinful desires were taken away, and we were renewed or rejuvenated in spirit, and from there forward, we didn't have the same sinful desires. And that was confusing to me. And it still is confusing to me that people teach that, because I know for a fact that having been saved now for many, many years, that as Mark pointed out in the Sunday school hour this morning, the desires of our flesh, they never change. Now they can be controlled and they can be tempered, but the flesh, as the Bible said, that which is flesh, and you can't get around that. And the sins of the flesh are simply that. If we're in Christ, and everybody, listen, everybody that has trusted Jesus Christ according to the gospel, has placed their faith in what he did at Calvary, every person that has done that is in Christ. It matters not what they call themselves, what denomination they affiliate themselves with, or anything else. If a person has trusted Christ, they're in Christ. They are in what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body. And in Christ, we live, we move, we have our being. In Christ, we are secure. In Christ, we have all things. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. So what are some of these new things that we have as saints of God, as being in Christ? Well, I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 11. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, Now, we know that when Jesus Christ came during his earthly ministry, the Bible said he was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus Christ himself said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." When he sent out the 12, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jews. And so the Jewish nation was God's instrument to bring about salvation to the nations. But it was to start with the nation Israel. And so we find examples throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of people being saved, and those Gentiles that are saved, there's always one thing in common, and that is their attitude toward the Jew. In Luke chapter 7, a man came and besought the Lord to heal his daughter. And the disciples said, "He is worthy of this because he built us a synagogue." So there was the way to the Lord was through the Jewish nation. Thus, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Now notice that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, and notice the phrase, "in Christ Jesus." If any man be in Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, it is obvious then that these Ephesians that Paul is writing to in time past were not in Christ. They were outside of Christ. They were aliens, the Bible says. And it goes on through there. Why? Because, he says, you were without Christ because you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. Now, go back up to verse 1. In verse 1, Paul says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So number one, we see two things there. Number one, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. We weren't dead physically in the sense of death. But Paul said, "You hath he quickened who were dead," what? "In trespasses and sins." We were dead to the life that Christ could provide. We were dead in our spiritual, in other words, the spirit of man in us was not dead, but we were spiritually dead. Just like God told Adam, he said, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Well, Adam partook of the fruit, but he didn't die physically. There was a spiritual death. And Paul said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, if we've been quickened, then we're now alive. So our spirit was quickened by his spirit. We were made alive in Christ Jesus. We became alive unto God and to Christ. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So wherein we were dead, we're now alive. We have life. Verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So when we were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible said we were the children of wrath. In other words, there is a wrath that is coming. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, He has delivered us from the wrath to come. But we were, at one time, the children of wrath. Why? Because as he said there, we had our conversation in the lust of the flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath. You see, there are many denominations today that teach that people become sinners when they commit their first sin. Hold on here and go back to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, and I know you're familiar with the verse. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason that some people teach that you become a sinner when you commit your first sin is because they also teach that the way to be free from sin is to quit sinning. Oh, they teach that you have to be saved, but they also believe that a person, after they're saved, if they commit certain sins, they fall out of their relationship with God and once again become under the wrath of, or come under the wrath of God. The Bible is clear. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, look over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we were what? The children of wrath. By nature, we were born a sinner. We were born as the children of wrath. We're part of a group there of all mankind. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God." We have been adopted into the family of God. We were strangers, we were outside of the family, and now we're part of the family. We were the children of wrath, but in Christ Jesus, we are sons of God. Not only that, look back in Romans chapter 5 again. In Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Now notice this verse. "For if when we were enemies..." Well then, were we enemies? Yes, we were. We were dead. We were the children of wrath. And the Bible said we were enemies. And he said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." What is that life? That's the new life that we have in Christ. That's the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Back up in chapter 4, verse 25, "He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And because He lives, we have life in Him, new life, spiritual life. So we were enemies of God. We were alienated from God. We were children of wrath. But notice what Paul says over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. Now notice verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So at one point, we were considered enemies of God. We were children of wrath. We were enemies. We were lost. We were dead. But by the blood of the cross, we've been reconciled unto him. And the Bible says there in Colossians 1:21, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. We've been reconciled to God, folks. We've been made one. We're in fellowship with him. And because of that, we can rejoice and know that our position is secure in Christ. Our position, these positional truths have to do with all that we are and all that we have in Christ. Notice back in Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So whereas we were in darkness, we now are in light. We were darkness, now we are light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. And we're to proclaim that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that is a light unto those that are lost. When he says there in verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, that has to do with our position. It has to do with our standing in Christ. We were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. Now, back in chapter 4, there's a great picture of what the application of this is. Look there in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know what blindness is? It's being in darkness. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You see, what Paul is saying to these Ephesians is that you have positionally been brought from death unto life. Positionally, you were enemies, but now you've been reconciled. You were darkness. You were living in darkness. But now you have the light of the Word of God, because you have the Spirit of God. So, what does he say? If so be, verse 21, that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, you can just summarize these passages or these verses right here by, in effect, saying what Paul is conveying to these people is if you're saved, if you're in Christ, then you ought to act like you're in Christ. You ought to live like you're in Christ. You ought to exercise that new creature that you are in Christ. Not the old man that you were. Not walk after the deceitful lust and that Oh man, it's again to make reference to what Mark was teaching this morning, the liberty that we have in Christ, we have also responsibility. And God's desire is that we appreciate and rejoice in that liberty, that freedom from the law, that freedom of bondage to religion, and rejoice in Christ and live in Christ. But he says, you need to put off, verse 22, concerning the former conversation, the old man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Why? He says it's corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Put on that doctrine. Put on that man that you are in Christ. Put on the new man which after God is created. That, in other words, that which you are internally, let it come out. Let it live out in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us, gave Himself for us. He died for our sins. He was buried. Our salvation is simply trusting in Him. But He desires that we put off concerning the former conversation. You know where that starts? Being renewed in your mind. Back in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. One of the verses we'll be using during our Bible school this week is Romans 12, 2. In verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, the old man, when he gets saved, he has his mind has been programmed by all that he has learned throughout his lifetime. I can tell you, when I came to understand about rightly dividing the word of truth, I would read scriptures and I would find myself interpreting those scriptures based on what I had been taught about those scriptures rather than what they said. And it's hard to replace those old thoughts and those old ways. Brother Moore used to talk about it being like a file cabinet, that when you get saved, your mind is like a file cabinet, and all that you've learned up until that point has been filed away. I guess today it'd be more appropriate to compare it to a hard drive on a computer. And all this information's gone in, and you've been programmed, and now a person gets saved. And that hard drive is just about full. So to add new stuff, you've got to delete some old. That's what this all has to do with, folks, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. For us to begin to think like God thinks about things. For us to react to things like God would have us to react. To have us transformed, he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we were darkness, but now we're light. Therefore, to walk as children of light, as Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then notice in Colossians chapter, well, we've already read there. You don't have to turn back there. In Colossians chapter 1, we read that we were aliens. We were alienated from God. Notice there in Ephesians chapter 2, we read a moment ago. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says there in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But notice in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh. We were alienated. Now we've been made nigh. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Look there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Just think about all of these things that are being contrasted here. You were children of wrath, now you're a child of God. You were an enemy, but now you're God's friend, you're reconciled. You were in darkness, but now you're in light. You were an alien. You were alienated from the life of God, but now you've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. You were strangers. You weren't part of the fellowship. But now, you're fellow citizens, he says. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, folks, what's significant about all this is that none of this was accomplished by anything we ever did in our flesh. It was a spiritual transaction that takes place when a person gets saved. And by one Spirit, they're baptized into one body. You see, there's a lot of things that take place when people get saved, and most of the time we don't know about all those until later on. Now, there's some people that study, and they know quite a bit about the Bible and then get saved. But there's others that they hear the gospel, they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they begin to learn about who they are in Christ, what their position is in Christ. But you see, nothing ever affects that salvation experience of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, look back there in verse 13, Paul said, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." God Almighty has sealed us unto the day of redemption. All of that came about by the fact that we acknowledge and understand that we're sinners and we need a Savior. And upon realizing that, we trust. The Bible says here concerning these Ephesians, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There's the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A person hears the gospel, and they can respond to that in two ways. They can either believe it or they can reject it. Those that believe it and receive the free gift of salvation are saved and are sealed on the day of redemption. Now the question we face is, have you ever received that free gift? Have you ever been by faith saved by the grace of God and placed into the body of Christ? If you have, then you're in Christ. If not, then you're outside of Christ and you remain a child of wrath. I hope that you have, because there's no greater blessing in the world than knowing that you're in Christ Jesus. Notice back in Ephesians 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 14, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Even through Him, or for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And he says there in verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." So in verse 17, we were where? We were far off. We were outside the body. We were Not even close, he says. He came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. That would be to the Gentiles that were far off and to them that were nigh. That would be the Jews. He asked the question, what advantage hath the Jew? Much every way. They had the oracles of God. They had the truth of God. But when Paul came forth preaching this message of grace, he was called the apostle of the Gentiles, and he was sent unto the Gentiles. And so this message of grace, it was preached to them which were far off and to them that were nigh. And you know what? The same gospel that saved the Jew, the same gospel that saved the Gentile, or the same gospel that saved the Gentile under Paul's ministry, same gospel that saved the Jew. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so we were at one time far off. Now we've been made nigh. All of these things that we have in Christ Jesus. Look back, if you will, in verse or chapter 1. In chapter 1, Paul says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now notice this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In Titus chapter 3, Paul said we were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived. Now Paul is praying that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. By grace through faith, we have been made part of this body. We are in Christ Jesus. We are sealed under the day of redemption. And notice in chapter 5, and we'll close here. In chapter 5, Paul says there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And He gave Himself for it. Look in verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Folks, that is a union that can never be dissolved. When we are placed into Christ, sealed under their redemption, we are so closely united with Him, the Bible said we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And because of our position in Christ, Paul could write, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Sealed. And God today sees us in His Son, Jesus Christ. One other verse. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth, for you're dead. Notice, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You see, Paul said you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God because we died with Him, that old man, and we're a new creature in Christ. And it's all because of what Christ did. The fact that He was willing, what did He say there in Ephesians 2? You've been made might and nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ was willing to go to that cross and become a sacrifice for all of our sins. And the Bible says He's forgiven us all trespasses. It does not come by going to the altar and praying through. It doesn't come by walking the aisle or joining the church or being baptized or taking communion or any of these other things. It comes about by faith in what Christ did. No matter where you might be right now, listen to this, whether you're in your car or listening on the internet at home or wherever it is, by faith, right this moment, you can be placed into the body of Christ, become one with Christ without doing anything. Just in your heart and mind, receive that truth, believe it, and accept the free gift of salvation. You don't have to get up and go anywhere, do anything, say anything, or even pray anything. It's something that takes place between you and God Almighty. And this morning, I feel sure that you know whether or not you've ever trusted the Lord as your Savior. And if you haven't, I would encourage you, I would beg you to do so. Because it's so simple that people miss it because of things that are added to it. Salvation is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for all that we have in Him and being a new creature in Christ and being sealed unto the day of redemption. Would you stand me for prayer?